So the title of our message today is Hidden but Findable. And really what we're taking on with this topic is an aspect of Christ-likeness that I think can be overlooked. Being Christ-like has many facets to it. And the topic that we're taking on last week and again expanding on this week is one of those aspects of Christ-likeness. And our flagship verse says that the Spirit is drawing this message from, we talked about last week, and just by way of review, it's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And I would submit to you that is not a bad four verses to commit to memory, because they're profound. Because Paul says there, and this pertains to everybody in here, I trust, he says, if you've been raised with the Messiah, you all have been. What are you to do? Seek what is above. Why? Well, because you're there. Because you've been raised with the Messiah. So wouldn't it make sense to seek what is above? Because you're really there. Seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on what is above, not on what is on the earth. Why should I do that, Paul? Well, I'll tell you why. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. Your life is hidden. You have a hidden life, and it's there. It's hidden. Where? This above place that Paul's talking about. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. And when the Messiah is revealed, Christ who is your life, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You have a hidden life. Is that, as we talked about, is it a future hope, or is that hidden life a present help? And we determined that it's both. It's a future hope and it is a present help. So is it findable? Because if it's a present help, it has to be findable. In other words, you have to be able to see it. And I assume that it is findable and that we can see it. This is fascinating. It's fascinating to imagine that we have a life presently over here, and yet we're living here, but Paul makes it very clear there's something going on here that pertains to you, and it is presently going on. Is it findable to be a present help, and can you see it? I assume that it is, because Paul says you should seek what is above. And he's talking about there that we should seek, try and see, try and find out and know what this hidden life is all about. Jesus backs that up when he's having his discourse with Nicodemus. What's he say to Nicodemus about the kingdom of God? He said, You won't see it unless you're born again. So clearly, there is strong biblical evidence that it is possible, not only possible, but strongly recommended that we seek this hidden life, this invisible realm where our life is held. Now, in order for it to be a present help, I talked last week about living out of that future revelation of our life. Living out of it. And I likened it unto going on vacation and you take a suitcase along and you're living out of that suitcase, because in that suitcase is really your life, isn't it? You're in a foreign room, and in the suitcase is your real life. And so you live out of that life in order to do things on vacation, where you are. So we are called to live out of that future life, not for it. That's different. But to live out of it. Can that invisible hidden life exert an influence on the visible? That's the question that we're dealing with today. Can your hidden life exert an influence on your present visible life? Well, we have some people here who did just that. And if you would turn over on the back of your devotional, you'll see the references that we're going to talk about here. And we took a run at this last week. We took a run at it. But you know what I like about Scripture? Well, I like a lot of things about Scripture. But you know, one of the things I really like about Scripture is that it's really complicated. Scripture is really deep. And therefore, it gives it validity. I mean, this is authored by God. You would think it is that way. And so many times, a facile reading of Scripture, we will blow right by some of the hidden truths. So that is why I have a tendency to go over things and to go over them and to go over them, because each time I do, in my own devotional time, something new pops out. So we're going to look at a group here in the book of Hebrews. We're going to find a group who did that, who found it, found their hidden lives, saw into this realm, did what Jesus said we could do, that if you're born again, you're able to see into this realm. And when you see into this realm, you get glimpses and flashes of this hidden life that we all have. And when you get those glimpses and flashes of that hidden life, you experience it. To a large degree, you can experience your hidden life. And when you experience your hidden life, then you can apply it to today. So three things. You got to see it. It's knowable. It's findable. Number one, you have to realize that. Number two, you have to experience it. You actually have to experience and live out of that future life. I know this is hard. I get that. I'm with you in this. I know that this is hard. But it is Christ's likeness. Number three, then, you have to apply it. You have to take what you've experienced and take what you've found and what you see, and you have to apply it, live out of that suitcase, so to speak, here and now today. Well, when we look at this verses in Hebrews, if you're all there on the back of your devotional, Hebrews 11, verse 1, Hebrews is all about this. It's all about a group that found this life. It's all about a group that saw this hidden life. It's about a group that looked into this invisible realm. And when they did that, that invisible realm exerted an influence over their visible realm, over their present lives. So we find out, in order to do this, it all centers around faith. That makes sense. Because how much energy are you going to expend seeking something that you do not believe exists? So number one, it takes faith. And number two, the very fact that you have this faith, I want to pause and make this crystal clear, because when this came to me this week, it was like an aha moment for me and faith. And so I hope by the Spirit's power I can convey this to you. You have to have faith to seek it. You have to have faith to set your mind on it. Number two, the fact that you do that, now watch this, is evidence that this other realm exists. Now I'm going to explain that. The fact that you have this faith is evidentiary of this hidden life and this other realm. Because the author of Hebrews says, now faith is, look at it, the reality of what is hoped for. Number one. And number two, it's the proof, it's the evidence of what is not seen. So do you see what this author is saying here? Faith, and I'm not just talking about the shallow world's view of faith, by the way, because the world has hijacked this. And they worship faith. Do you know what I mean? The world has hijacked this concept of faith. No, we're talking about faith in a creator covenant God. That is the only faith that Scripture talks about. It is not just this shallow positive thinking kind of thing that people do. And it's not just, well, I have a lot of faith that everything's going to work out for me. No, Scripture is clear. The only faith that we're talking about here is faith in a creator covenant God. So understand that is our base, that is our concrete foundation. So faith is the proof, the evidence that this other realm even exists. Well, how does that? Why? Explain that, Tim. Well, I'm going to. And I don't think you'll ever forget it. And you're going to understand it because of the movie The Terminator. Trust me. In that movie, someone comes from a different realm and a different time. And they come to the earth and they tell this story about future events that are going to happen. Nobody believes them. Except for this one man who takes the person aside who's telling this story. And he says, I want to show you something. He takes him down into the recesses of this vault-like room. And he shows him a fragment of like a computer chip fragment attached to this robotic hand. And he says to him, this is way beyond our technology. I found this thing. I found this artifact, this fragment, and I can't explain it. We can't reproduce it. This is so far beyond our abilities that I believe your story. Because something burst into the present reality from another world, from another time, from another dimension. And the fact that that was there proved, are you following this? Are you seeing where I'm going? This thing, this artifact, this fragment from this other dimension and other world, although they didn't see the other world, proved that it existed. Because it came from a realm that could only be so far advanced that story has to be true. I believe you now because I found this. It's in our world, and I can't explain it any other way than it did come from something that I can't see or understand. Faith, the author of Hebrews says, is the proof, is the evidence of what is not seen. Faith is an artifact or a fragment that burst into our dimension from an unseen world. Tracking? The fact, the author says, the fact that you have this faith proves the unseen does exist. It's true with all of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, I hope the Spirit can get a hold of this for you. We look at all of the fruits of the Spirit, which are all evidentiary of this unseen realm, unseen world. What are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. And when those characteristics show up in our world, in a fallen world, we cannot explain the existence of those characteristics and those qualities by any other way the author of Hebrews says, than to know they are proof that there's another society out there somewhere. There's a hidden realm out there somewhere where this kind of stuff is normal fare. We're seeing into, we're getting glimpses with the fruits of the Spirit, we're getting glimpses of the kingdom of God. We're seeing where God's name is honored as holy, where his writ simply runs, and where his will is just done. And the way that is carried out in this other realm is through the work of the Spirit by giving these characterological changes to people. And people in this realm, this is how they are. This is how they act. So how do we explain that those things, like the artifact in the Terminator, the fragment, how do we explain? Where did they come from? See, C.S. Lewis, again, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes on this so eloquently that he makes such a strong proof of the existence of this hidden realm, because he says, how do you explain these things? Where did these things come from? Now, I will challenge the evolutionists to explain this to me. I will challenge those who are buying into natural selection to tell me how these characters come about, because I'll tell you something, natural selection would not hang its hat on these characteristics. Would they? These are characteristics that the world, the world eschews. Remember to try and use that this week, eschew. And the world does eschew these. This is not how to get ahead in the world and otherwise. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control are not world beaters. So you see, this puts to paid the whole theory of natural selection. Because what Darwin said in Origin of Species was that the strongest, the boldest, the most aggressive people, they survive and they go on. That's how evolution takes its place. Well, then I would say to Mr. Darwin, how do you explain these characteristics being in the world today? Because if natural selection is true, these things would have been done away with. You see that? That's the lie of evolution. It's the proof. It proves its existence. It's a reality from which we know nothing about. And here we find ourselves, if you find yourself, in other words, seeking this other world, do you find yourself doing that? Do you find yourself setting your mind on this other world? Because if you do, it's proof that the other world exists, because where did that desire come from? Where does that faith come from? You know, faith in the Creator Covenant God that I call user-friendly, that's a term I've used, and it becomes user-friendly, that was wrought on Pentecost when the Spirit came down in the room. With the Spirit coming down comes also the fruits of that Spirit. In other words, this kind of faith actually had a beginning in our world. This fragment from that other realm had a beginning, and it crashed and insinuated itself into our realm at a particular day and a particular time. Now, I want to read you an excerpt from Galatians that Paul backs this up. Paul says, yeah, this faith had a beginning. And Galatians is a tough book. And Galatians is all about when faith and promise collide. What faith is here, and then promise is here, and how do we work it out? And then how does law work into all this? Now, you don't need to know that for this particular discussion. But I want you to listen to what Paul says in Galatians 3. I'll just read this to you. Galatians, if you do a study during the week, you want to write this down. Galatians 3, 23 to 25. Listen to what Paul says. Before this faith came, you see, there was a time in the Terminator, there was a day and a time when that fragment, that artifact from this other realm, showed up on earth. Heretofore, they knew nothing about this other realm. It's crazy talk. You see, we can be labeled that way by certain people. Are you telling me you actually believe in this heavenly realm? Are you telling me you actually believe in resurrection from the dead? You actually believe in this hidden life that you have? Before this faith came, Galatians 3, 23, we were confined under the law, imprisoned, until the coming faith was revealed. And we find ourselves at Pentecost, forward then, we can step back and say, we found this artifact. It's faith. And I did not muster it up. And so the story that I'm reading in this book, well, it has some validity. It has to be true, because how else do I explain this fragment? How else do I explain the finding of this artifact? It had to come from somewhere, and it didn't come from me, and it didn't come from Earth. The law, then, was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. Verse 25, Galatians 3, but since that faith has come, this faith had a beginning in our time, space, matter dimension. And when it did, when those tongues of flame came down on those men in that upper room, it was artifacts from another realm insinuating themselves into our world. Isn't this, you see this? But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. And here's a word of warning. And James writes about this trenchantly. This is what his whole book is about, James, brother of our Lord. If you have this faith, it does one thing. It does a lot of things, but one thing that it does do, it yearns jealously. You know that verse in James? It yearns jealously to find and connect with the Father. Paul says, if you don't have the Spirit, in Romans chapter 8, he says, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Him. So if you do have this Spirit, I'm going to challenge tepid, casual Christianity today, which I think is actually an oxymoron. I don't believe that exists. I think that is a term we have made up to make ourselves feel like it does exist. But, you know, Scripture knows nothing of that kind of faith. That's the only problem. Jesus and Paul know nothing of that kind of faith. The word of warning is this. If I have the Spirit, which is the hallmark of being a man or woman of God, with that come certain desires and character changes. If I find Scripture to be, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, nonsense, he says there's a group of people out there that find it to be nonsense. There's a group of people out there that find it to be boring. There's a group of people out there that never read it. But if I have that Spirit that yearns jealously for the Father, I will find myself inexplicably at times drawn to this. This is the word of warning. There is no such thing as casual Christianity. It is a lie of the enemy. Listen, we better get our data straight. Because when Jesus said the road is narrow and there are few that find it, He meant it. We have broadened that road under the flag of loving inclusivity. You see this? Oh, you're judgmental. You're a hater because you don't condone any and all practices. So if I find myself, and you find yourself believing in this crazy story. Like I said, when I read the Gospels, I can hear these guys saying, I know this sounds crazy, but this is exactly what happened. So if you find yourself inexplicably believing that, having the faith, that fragment from out there, you can sleep easy. On the other hand, if you don't, you better join Insomniacs, because there's a problem. Now, that does not mean that you don't go through forays. You know, I bet you all of you have done it. Forays where you become tepid, become lukewarm, backslidden, those terms we used to use that are no longer in vogue. But ever and always, Jesus says, once I have a hold of you, I'll never let you go. And he will do and bring things into your life to get you to pay attention again. And it is because of this fragment from this other reality. Do you see that? You'll never forget it, will you? If you haven't seen The Terminator, I can't say that I recommend that movie. That would be... No, I can't say that. I'm not recommending the movie, although I enjoyed it. But, okay, if you've not seen the movie, never mind that. So let's go on here and finish up with this briefly. Verse 3. Well, that's fine. We have this fragment from another dimension. It's proof that it exists, because otherwise it wouldn't exist. Our own natural earth doesn't have anything like this, because after the fall, all of those things left. All of those things left because the dimensions were divided, because the cherubim with a flaming sword said, this is Eden, this is the world. You want to get along without God? Good luck. Here, all of the fruits are over here. So, how do we explain that they once again appeared? Well, that's Pentecost. Now, what are we to do with this faith? Verse 3, by faith, it's given to us for a reason. And one of the things is we understand something. You know, John says in his first epistle, he says, we know that the Son of God came to give us understanding. See, the faith that you've been given, this fragment, this artifact, has been given to you for a reason, and that one of the things is for understanding. Now, what do we understand with this faith? And here again is the craziness of our belief. That the universe was created by God's command. By faith, see, you and I believe that. It is not of yourself that you can possibly believe this. But by faith, the artifact, we do believe it. We believe the universe was created by God's command. It was spoken into tangible reality. Who's going to buy that? Come on. We know it was this Big Bang thing. We know that it was all happenstance. We know that because that makes so much more sense. No, we believe that it was created by God's command. God spoke and the tangible universe became visible. But here's the interesting thing, and this really ambushed me this week, hijacked my thinking. The next sentence. So that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. The author of Hebrews is setting the stage that it is characteristic of God to produce visible things from invisible things. And the most notable example that he gives is the universe. And here's the interesting part about this verse. The visible universe had a beginning, a revealing, but the part and parcel of it was pre-existing what we see. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:2. Now, the earth was empty, formless, hidden in darkness, chaotic. That's Genesis 1:2. Are you telling me that God picked up those things, formless, dark, empty, chaotic? Yeah, the author of Hebrews says, that's exactly what I'm saying. What you see was created by God's spoken command. Now, this applies to your life. Now, hang on. What you see in the universe was created when God spoke, but it was created from pre-existing things that we didn't see. See that? From things that are not visible. Isn't that interesting? And Genesis 1:2 backs that up. Genesis 1:2 gives the condition of this universe prior, what brilliant writing, prior to God speaking. This, in other words, is characteristic of God. You don't think you have a hidden life, an invisible life? Do you believe the universe was once this way? Do you believe that God, through his spoken command, took things that were invisible? You know, I never thought of this before, this studying this. But it's backed up. It's backed up with Genesis 1:2. The author explains what the universe was like before God spoke, and it was hidden in darkness. It was formless. It was chaotic. It had no purpose. It was empty. Any lives like that out there? You want to seek your life that is hidden? And I'll tell you something else. God, if you are a child of God, God will have none of it. God would have none of those invisible qualities of the universe, because God cannot abide with formless purpose, no purpose, with emptiness, with darkness, and with chaos. No, God can't have that. He'll have none of it. It is so characteristic of God to make everything we see, has an invisible foundation. Everything you and I see has an invisible, hidden foundation. You don't think you have a hidden life that is presently. You see, these things of the universe were present. It's fascinating. How long did that go on? How long before God decided to speak it into tangibility? And in that empty purpose, no purpose, chaotic, dark form, here's the hope for our world. Here's the hope for the non-people of God. And here's the hope for my life. That the Spirit was hovering and brooding over that disintegration. You want to find your hidden life? All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. You think that your life, and this is the enemy's trap for us, I know of what I speak, no purpose, dark, empty, chaotic. God can't possibly take any of that and do anything with it. This hidden life of yours must be a mess. The enemy say that to you? Because this is all you've got. And this is all the universe had. You look at the primordial universe and you say, well, that's beyond reclaiming. And God says, not so fast, because watch this, and it becomes Eden. Your life, this is hopeful. I think it's good. You see, I might send something that's formless and empty and dark and chaotic. I might send that as the part and parcel of what God's going to make my invisible life out of, my hidden life out of. God will have none of it. He'll have none of that for the universe. He'll have none of that for you. And he will speak that into what Paul says at the end of the fourth verse in Colossians 3, you'll be revealed with him and it's going to be glorious. You see, we can see that now. See, so often we concentrate on the left side of the equation. No purpose, dark, empty, formless, chaotic. And the enemy wants you right there. The enemy does not want God's people to know this, because he doesn't want you living out of that suitcase. You're already raised with the Messiah. You're already a citizen of heaven. You're already seated in the heavenlies, Paul says. Paul says this over and over and over. And why do I give that Paul so much validity? Because Jesus said the same thing. You'll never see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Wouldn't you like to see that about your life? Because over my life and over your life now is that brooding, hovering spirit of God. You want to find your hidden life? Here's the key. Oh, Tim, are you going to go on scripture reading again? Well, actually, I am. I'll tell you why. Because scripture makes it clear that the universe was created when God's word came into it. See? Your hidden life, the universe was hidden. Am I making this analogy clear? The universe, as we know it, was hidden. The author says that, from things that were not visible. You have a hidden life, and it's not visible. But we're given the promise of Jesus and Paul that if we seek and set our minds on it by the lens of God's word, through the lens of God's word, God's command, God's word, and it will become, in a manner, visible to you. And you won't let the enemy beat you up anymore with this formless, empty, dark, chaotic life. Why? Because the living God will have none of it. You see, that's what I might be throwing at the board with my life. But God will have none of it. God doesn't traffic in those things. The opposite condition of your life right now is presently in place. It already exists. God speaks and formless becomes purposeful. God speaks and empty becomes full. God speaks and dark becomes light. God speaks and chaos becomes order. Same for your life and the same for mine. Seek what is above. Set your minds on what is above. How do we do that, Paul? Well, you do it by looking through the lens of God's word, and he will honor that by showing you hints. Hints of this. The wrong thing thought or felt in your life has already been dealt with. You know, I study this stuff. This is a commentary. I study this stuff, and I can't. This is unbelievable. I mean, could this really be? Is this the kind of Savior we serve? Is this the kind of God that we have? And resounding back to me, yes, yes, yes. because God is light, and in him is no darkness. Let's pray. Father, bless these words. Amen.